The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, this is a pretty sad state of affairs that we're so busy with COVID and violence and policing and back the blue and racism and critical race theory and yada, yada, yada on down the road that I didn't even realize, shame on me, that today, May 6th, is the National Day of Prayer. This used to be such a big thing on our radar screen. And yet, for, at least for me, somehow, this just kind of slipped, which is ridiculous. I don't have any good excuses for that other than to say that I think it's probably indicative of a problem that a lot of us have, that we turn to prayer as a last resort as opposed to our first stop. And so today I just reached out to some of the godliest men I know, and they're going to help lead us today as we work through, instead of a regular Theology Thursday, we're going to focus on the needs of this nation, which are many and intense, and worthy, very worthy of our prayers and our consideration. And so didn't take very long. Our good friend, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ here in Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you, my brother?
Hey, my brother. I'm doing good, man. Glad to be back on with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Just a delight. And of course, let me just ask you this, and then we'll get right into praying. And this sounds like a cliche, Patrick, but I don't really think I've known of a time. I'm 55 in my adult life when America needed more prayer than it does right now. Do you?
No, sir, I don't. And I'm 59, slightly older, but I've never seen a time quite like it is now. And I think that much of it is due to the suppression of the truth. Steve, we're in a time where people lie. The media lies about the police killings. You would think that unarmed black men are being indiscriminately killed in the streets when the numbers show that so far this year, 114 white men have actually been killed by the police and 62 black men. We just watched on the Sean Hannity show last night where Sean repeatedly called a man a woman. We're in a time where people just simply lie. And when lies, when the truth is suppressed, things are lied about, it causes problems in the community. And part of the things I want to pray about today is that the truth prevails, that the truth comes out, and that the truth is given free course, and that we go back to days of just telling it like it is.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. And that reminds me of Romans chapter 1. Then we'll get right to your prayer. That what do we do? What does this world do? The lost world suppresses the truth and replaces it with a lie. And we see that happening all over the place. So I've got on my clock right now, Patrick, I've got 4:09. We hit the break at about 4:13 and 30 seconds. So you probably have about 4 minutes if you want to go that long. But if you could lead us in prayer about the truth, that would be awesome.
Thank you, sir. Let us pray. Dear God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God of the Bible, true and living God, oh God who is and was and who is to come, God who made this country great, God who established the world and all that is in it, we are your people, we are the sheep of your pasture, you're God and you're great and we love you today. And on this National Day of Prayer, we stop, we pause, we hesitate, we bow our knees, we bend our knees, we bow our heads, we close our eyes, or whatever prayer posture one may assume, whether we're standing or kneeling, we call on your name. And we ask, oh God, that the truth of God, that the truth prevails. Lord, there are people who have vested interest in pushing and promoting lies. Our children are being lied to in school about the origin of this country. We're being lied to every day. where we're seeing people whom we formerly could trust call men women and women men. But law enforcement are being lied on to the point where it is such a dangerous profession now, and many a good men are retiring early and leaving the general public at the hands of criminals. Oh, God, many preachers have quit preaching your gospel, and we've turned to stories and anecdotals, and we're seeking to be accepted and liked by the world. But, Father, we pray that the truth prevails. Jesus, you said that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you declared that the gates of hell would not prevail against you, and Lord, we believe it. And yet, Lord, we've read in Daniel's chapter 8 and other passages where the truth will be thrown to the ground, Daniel 8 and 12, and how the Antichrist and the spirit of the wickedness would be allowed to practice and prosper. But we pray against these things. We pray, oh God, that you would move as never before, move the obstacles out of the way, open the doors for those who know the truth and who have the courage to speak it. May our voices be heard and not muted. We know what the truth will do. The truth makes us free. The truth gives us joy. The truth narrows the divide in society. The truth is the enemy of racism. It's the enemy of all things that are evil. So, Father, today, with this prayer and this space that you've given, and we thank you for Brother Steve and this platform and how he has dedicated this time to the National Day of Prayer. Oh, Father, we pray that the truth of God will prevail in the hearts of men and women. Lord, let it be preached from the pulpits across America, taught in schools. Oh, God, that we talk about the truth.
Pastor.
In Jesus' name we pray.
But
thank
I just
you,
echo that sentiment, of course. But
amen.
We got you. Amen. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you. God bless you.
Thanks
for
yes,
leading
sir.
Us in that prayer. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Patrick. And what an important prayer. I mean, that's the number one thing people have asked me in the last year in the midst of everything we've been through is who can I trust? What news source? What website? What Twitter account should I follow? Where can I get the truth? There's only one source of absolute truth. You know what that is. Start there and filter everything else through that, so which means you have to be steeped in biblical truth in order to be able to find the truth anywhere else. We'll continue when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Is our internet connection a little shaky? Things are a little shaky coming through there. I'm not sure what's going on there. It's the National Day of Prayer. Did you know that? I wasn't even aware of it. You know, we all get busy and everything, and we keep flying through stuff. But the National Day of Prayer is today, and unfortunately, I think it slipped a lot of people's radar screens, and it slipped mine. I have no excuse other than just we're so inundated with all kinds of stuff that we just kind of miss it. But is that maybe a reality in our lives? I said that at the beginning before Bishop Wooden led us in a prayer for truth. And I've got a little ironic breaking news today from our broadcast yesterday. When we just asked you to call in and share what you thought of mandatory vaccine requirements, we're not there as a nation yet, but it's happening in certain places. And ballparks are starting to do that. You can't come into the ballpark. So there are mandatory vaccine requirements out there, and it's going to grow. And we had a conversation yesterday. You just shared your opinions on what you thought of that. And then I brought up some concerns about COVID-19. But for YouTube, apparently we crossed some lines. So they dumped that show from yesterday. We do YouTube Live as well as Facebook Live. They dumped that show yesterday and gave us a little warning with this 3.5 pages of stuff. Shows you all the different ways that you can violate. Basically, if you say anything that contradicts the World Health Organization or Dr. Fauci or the CDC or the NIH in any way, or you try to poke holes in it in any way, well, you're a danger to society, apparently. And so that's what they said. That's a warning. And then next time we'll cancel you for 7 days and then we'll go from there. Right? Charming. So the truth,
the truth. By the way, tonight, nationaldayofprayer.org is the website, nationaldayofprayer.org. Tonight at 8 p.m., they have an official, I think it goes live at 7:45, but it's the start, it actually starts at 8 p.m. They've got a great lineup of people that are going to be praying. Pastor Greg Laurie, who I've worked with for years with the Harvest Crusades and stuff, is a part of that. Tony Evans is just an incredible pastor. Our friend Ann Graham Lotz is part of that. Jack Graham, awesome pastor, as well as Ronnie Floyd and other people. Shane and Shane and some other people are performing. And so that's tonight, which would be a much better use of any of our times than Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever. But that's what we need to be doing on a regular basis when the scripture says that we should pray without ceasing. That's an attitude and a posture of prayer. That throughout the day, driving down the road, and you pray about something. It's not sitting in your room and praying 24/7, although some people are called to intercessory prayer. But that's a big deal, and especially right now in our country. So I was just thrilled that Bishop Wooden could call in and lead us in that powerful prayer about truth. And the next segment of the show, after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Brad Harbaugh, who's the president of Capital Commission. And there's a website that you need to go to with respect to prayer. I've mentioned this many, many times over and over again over the years, and I'll remind you again right now to go there. Okay, it's pray1tim2.org, as in 1 Timothy chapter 2. pray1tim2.org. Just go there, and you'll see a map of the U.S. Click on your state, and you can sign up for a daily email that will give you 6 or 7 members, one from the federal level, Congress, Senate, occasionally the executive branch and the Supreme Court. And then they'll give you members of your state house, your state Senate to pray for every day. And then with a little prayer prompt. So we'll talk to Brad Harbaugh. I'm going to ask him specifically to pray for our elected officials in the third segment of the show. And then former Congressman Mark Walker, who also is a pastor, and right now a current candidate for U.S. Senate here in North Carolina, is going to call in for the fourth segment and lead us in a prayer, however he feels led. So that's kind of what we're trying to lean into today in the National Day of Prayer. And I just wanted to, I'll take a minute and pray here in a couple minutes. I'm going to pray for us and our role in this world. I've been teaching students this week, as I do every week. Coming up on next week, I think it's our last day of class, then we take a break for the summer. And teaching, I think I've got 62, 63, 64, something like that, students right now. They're all high school homeschoolers. And trying to make them understand, hey, you guys got to come to the realization that functionally you live in a pagan nation where the vast majority of people, no less than 85%, but perhaps even as high as 90%, actually aren't Christians. They're not born again. They're not actual biblical Christians. So you're surrounded mostly by people that don't know the Lord, and our nation looks that way. So you're like Daniel in Babylon. You are, as Steve Day said a couple weeks ago, we need to think of ourselves more now as pilgrims than patriots. Still be a patriot, but you're more a pilgrim now. Because, first of all, scripturally, this is not our home, right? We're sojourners, we're passing through, we're aliens. So we should not be very comfortable here. And hopefully you aren't. I certainly am not. I get more uncomfortable all the time. But one of the things that we need to do is pay attention to our witness. We do that on social media, how we're out there engaging people. And just a reminder, when you're walking in a store, you're doing business, wherever you're at, whether they know you're a Christian or not, God is glorified by the way you treat people. So you're a Christian witness. Then if they find out, this is one of my favorite things, oh, you're a Christian? You know, and for some, when I walk into situations, if they know who I am, then they're assuming I'm just a fire-breathing, so far to the right, I'm about to fall off the flat earth, kind of jerky Christian that's condescending and judging everybody and hates everybody, especially homosexuals and Muslims and transgender people and this, that, and the other thing. And then I try to give them anything but that, which isn't difficult. If you're full of the Holy Spirit and you love the Lord and you love your neighbor and you experience some self-control as a fruit of the Spirit, and you can be kind and compassionate and loving. And so I'm going to pray for us just with the 2 minutes we have before we hit the break. About our witness to a watching world. Father God, we thank you that we are ambassadors through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for anybody listening right now that's not sure whether they can say that. I think I'm a Christian. I'm probably a Christian. I hope so. That, Lord, they would know that your word says they can know so. So I pray for those that might not be sure of their salvation. But Lord, for those of us that are, you call us to be ambassadors. That's a 24/7 gig. Whether it's in our house, in our marriages, with our kids, with friends, neighbors, in the workplace, out in the street, on a radio show, on Facebook and social media, whatever the case, Father. So I just pray you would help us to navigate the world that needs to hear the grace and truth that comes from your word through your spirit. That we need to be people of truth, like Bishop was talking about, but with grace. Always given ready to give an answer for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect and with patience. Lord, so help us to be, while on the one hand, we know that we're the aroma of death to those who are perishing. But on the other hand, Lord, we want to be a sweet fragrance of people that love you and love our neighbor. And Lord, that's difficult to do these days of people yelling at each other about masks and vaccines and red versus blue and all that stuff, Lord. And there are real issues. Real truth hills to climb and ascend and fight for. But Lord, ultimately, none of it is as important as the truth of the gospel that every man and woman is an eternal creature. As C.S. Lewis said, either an eternal horror or everlasting splendor based on what we do with your son. So Lord, help us to be good representatives, good image bearers of you and your son through the power of your spirit with the gospel, with the truth of your word. Lord, where we're bold and courageous and stand down a lion, chase a lion into a snowy pit like we read in the Old Testament, but also be loving and kind where a sinner would come down out of a tree and have lunch with us because they know we love them. And Lord, help us to navigate truth and grace in a way that's glorifying to you and attractive, even though uncomfortable, to a watching world, and help us to do that for your glory and your glory alone, in Christ's name. Amen. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, the National Day of Prayer. Back with Brad Harbaugh, the president of Capitol Commission. We'll be praying for our elected officials when we come back. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Today, National Day of Prayer. Just a reminder, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll have a great program that's online that you can watch. Just go to nationaldayofprayer.org, nationaldayofprayer.org. But as I mentioned previously, before you do that, I want you to go to pray1tim2.org. Okay, pray1tim2.org, as in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, meaning this is important, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, well, including who? For kings, and for all that are in authority, that we, Christians, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4, and that website from our friends at Capitol Commission. Brad Harbaugh is the president of Capitol Commission. Brad, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
Hi, I am doing well. We had about 100 people that stood outside the Capitol today and participated in the National Day of Prayer service. Our NC State Minister Bert Jones and Don Reno, Counselors of Prayer, and others joined, and it was a phenomenal time of lifting up the Lord. I saw a spirit of dependency on God. Mm. That maybe I haven't seen as much in the past. So that was a real praise. I just wanted to mention that as we begin.
Yeah, and I think that's we should all be thinking that way right now. I mean, based on how crazy things have been for the last 14 months, where we're at politically, socially, culturally, morally, everything going on, the division inside the church with masking and politics and vaccines, our reliance on God, our dependence upon God, instead of kind of looking to Fox News or whoever you look to go, oh, let's go get some answers. The only house we can really lean up against on to be safe and to be secure would be the house of the Lord and God himself. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Tell everybody a little bit about Capitol Commission, because this is such an important ministry that people need to know about and support and get involved with. And then, Brad, if you could help us pray through kind of praying for our elected officials. And by the way, friends, that's all of them. God really used Capitol Commission and its founder, Jim Young, in my life to really correct my heart and my mind on how I looked at politicians and elected officials, especially ones on the other side of the aisle. So it's really when you hear more compassion and patience with me, when you do hear that for elected officials and talking about praying for them, it's because of my friends at Capital Commission. But tell us a little bit about the ministry, and then we'll pray together, Brad.
Capital Commission and our endorsed ministries cover about half the states in America. We do something uniquely different in that we are planting a state minister, like a missionary pastor in a capital. That becomes their mission field. And the we pursue opportunities to bring gospel hope and spiritual strength to governing leaders and staff, helping each one to know Jesus as Christ and Lord. What makes us different? There are ministries, there's a plethora of ministries in the name of Jesus that are trying to, in good ministries, I might add, that are really there for a cause, for an issue, for good causes, bringing information, rallying the church to get behind some of those causes. I love those ministries. I support those ministries, but that's one wing of the plane.
Yeah.
That's one wing of the plane.
Great way of putting it.
And we're the other wing. We're the other wing. And today I stood, you know, with one of the presidents of one of those organizations that said, hey, we need the other wing. And yeah. I've just been in three capitals in the last 5 weeks, and I can tell you the difference between someone who's there with the only agenda being, I'm here to minister to the souls of these legislators.
Yeah.
And to see the difference in empowerment, to see the difference in the biblical worldview in those capitals, it's a clear difference.
Yeah.
And the third capital, man, I'm not going to name states, but the third capital is in. I see those other ministries there, but I constantly tell people, the gospel with an agenda isolates you. You immediately become a lobbyist when you're there
right.
with any agenda.
Right.
And so when you are there with the gospel and your focus is that person's soul and you're caring for them, the gospel without an agenda is powerful.
Powerful.
And the church today needs to unleash that gospel. Steve, I'm going to go out on a limb. I believe the church today, I've been in many, many states just this year traveling. I see the church being crucified between Christian nationalism and woke theology.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They're missing the main thing. They're missing the gospel.
Yep.
And I just want to say, let's be what God's called us to be and
Amen.
Care and reach the souls of people.
Amen.
There's too much political agenda. Politics are not the answer. Politics are telling us that.
Yep.
And I
it's
was
downstream.
Just with a lot. Yeah, they are. It's downstream. A lobbyist, David Koresh, just said, hey, I've been here 35 years, and I've been here every day for 35 years, and we need Jesus more than we need anything else.
Amen. A hearty amen
powerful.
To that. Yeah, that's powerful. And again, that's two wings on the same plane. And if you only have one wing, that's going to be an issue. But especially if you don't have a prayer wing and a gospel wing, you're in really big trouble. And if you want to see hearts and minds changed and policies changed, well, guess what? Somebody that loves the Lord, knows his word, and is committed to that truth is going to be the best player down at any state capitol. And so we need more gospel people, which will equate to better policies coming out of our government. Well, lead us in a prayer. We've got about 4 minutes, Brad. So if you just help us to pray for those in authority over us, according to God's word, that would be awesome.
I'm going to just pray for our national leaders.
Sure.
I've got them right in front of me, and I'm going to pray.
Good.
The way Pray 1-2-2, Tim 2 tells us to. And so, Father, I cry out to you today for our president, Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, Madam Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Minority Leader Representative Kevin McCarthy, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Majority Whip Dick Durbin, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Minority Whip John Thune. Lord, these that you have placed in leadership, as I read your word, Lord, this is a direct act of you. This is not a mistake or coincidence that they're in their position. You've either allowed it or directly positioned them. Father, we cry out to you for their salvation, that they would know Jesus as Christ and Lord, first and foremost. We cry out to them, Lord, that they would, as Proverbs 2 tells us, to seek after the instruction of the Word of God as we would seek after silver. God, we pray that they would know the fear of the Lord and that you would give them your discernment and your courage and your perseverance to do what is right and righteous. God, give them humility to serve. Give them teachability to have their hearts open to things, especially in this day when no one wants to be challenged because of expressive individualism, Lord. They don't want to be challenged with anything that's against what they believe is what is right. Lord, help them to be teachable. God, we pray for moral integrity in our leaders. Oh, God, we think of the things that you hate, and lying and deceitfulness is one of those, two of those things. God, we cry out to you because we see all this in our nation, and we ask, God, that you would forgive us for this great sin of lying and deceitfulness and spinning the truth and not being upfront about what you're really doing. God, this is characterizing our leadership on both sides, and we cry out to you and ask for forgiveness of that. God, give them self-control. We pray these things today, and we ask that they would come to know you, Lord, would know the truth. God, there is one truth, one authority for all people for all time, and we thank you, Lord, that you've given that to us in the Bible, the Word of God. We give you glory and praise today, Lord, for we know that you reign on high. And, Lord, you even set in the throne and laugh at those that conspire against you.
Yeah.
Lord, we recognize that there's going to come a day when every knee will bow before you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we just know, and it breaks our heart, that many of those that will do that will be people that are against you, even when they bow that knee. Mm. Oh, God, we pray that you would bring revival to the church.
Yes, Lord.
We cry out to you today for that. Call us to focus upon you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brad. I really appreciate you. Thank you for all the work you're doing and the rest of the team at Capital Commission. Pray1Tim2.org is the website. I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you, get to the website and get on the prayer list and begin to pray for those in authority over us every day. It will change your life, and it just might change this nation. Brad, God bless you, friend. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Steve. God bless you.
You're welcome. We'll talk again soon. There you go. We're going to keep praying with Congressman Mark Walker, who's running for the Senate here in North Carolina, when we come back. I'll tell you what, yeah, we need a lifeline. I need a lifeline as an individual with my family, marriage, children, business, ministry, whatever it is. There's really only one lifeline for any of us or for a group or for a community or for a country. And that's the Lord himself. And so today on the National Day of Prayer, we're just trying to focus in on that. Really appreciated Bishop Wooden, Patrick L. Wooden Sr. calling in first. And he was praying about truth. He just felt led that we live in such an age of lies and deception. Romans chapter 1, we suppress the truth, we replace it with a lie. And then our friend Brad Harbaugh with the Capital Commission praying for those in authority over us, which was probably a little uncomfortable for some of you as he was praying for members of national leadership up in Congress, which included names like, I don't know, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, people like that. And you might bristle over that, but the word does not give you an option. Pray for the people that you like. Pray for the people that you agree with. Pray for the people that you voted for. Uh-uh. It's praying for all of them. And somebody that knows a little bit about that, because he was a pastor, because he served for 6 years up in Congress, and he's currently running for the U.S. Senate here in the great state of North Carolina, is our friend Congressman Mark Walker. Congressman, how you doing? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing great. I'm just listening to you bring the word right there. A little convicting, I might add.
Amen. Well, if it's working, then that means it's from the Lord. If it doesn't work, then that was just Steve Noble being Steve Noble. So I appreciate that. Hey, I wanted to ask you real quick, just because I know a lot of people in the audience will be curious to know this. I know that you were with President Trump the other day. Generally, we don't have to talk politics. How's he doing generally?
Yeah, I was with him yesterday afternoon, and frankly, about this time. And you know what? He's in pretty good spirit. It's always fun to sit down and talk with President Trump because you better have an outline of what you want to discuss in that meeting because it's like a set of fireworks or Roman candles going, so you got to let it go and kind of keep bringing it back. But he's doing very well, kind of processing what he wants to do next. And
yeah.
Had a chance to meet with him and my good friend, former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe. So it was a healthy meeting, good discussion. Certainly that's not about the gaming at the U.S. Senate race, but I would just say it was a very good discussion and enjoyed meeting with him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Well, when I was talking to Brad Harbaugh, I of course was knowing you were coming up next. And once you've been involved with church life and pastoral ministry, but being up in Congress, help us to understand, Mark, how important is it to you as when you were serving in Congress and now running for the U.S. Senate here in North Carolina? How important is it to you that people like us are out here praying for you? What does that mean?
It's everything, Steve. It is absolutely everything. And I know there's about 15 or 20 of us that would always gather on our fly-in day, usually Monday afternoon. But throughout that week, the members who are really trying to hold up and live out their Christian faith, when you get on that plane to fly back Friday afternoon, you are emotionally, physically exhausted. You are spiritually depleted.
Yeah.
And to know people, to sense people praying for you, there's nothing like it in the world. And for people that are willing to spend time to do that, I think it makes ultimately the difference as far as helping our country get to where it needs to be.
Yeah, such a great point. And as somebody that's been up there, spent all that time up there and engaged up there, now working around the state, wanting to represent the great state of North Carolina in the U.S. Senate, what kind of has been on your heart, Mark, as you've been through this journey that the Lord has allowed you on and has used you greatly in? What's been on your heart lately just in terms of the state of the nation and things that we should really be leaning into in terms of prayer?
What a great question. Here's what's been on my heart. I've been reading and praying for this process. As I think about Nehemiah, and I think about Nehemiah in rebuilding the wall, rebuilding this country, whatever analogy you want to put to that, he had both a sword and a trowel. And I want to make sure that we as believers, we stand up and we fight for what we believe in, but we also remember that we're called to be builders, to be able to carry out the Great Commission, and that our lives, we are to walk. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, we can remove mountains, but if we don't have love, Paul says, I am nothing.
Yeah.
And to be able to find that balance, I believe it takes a daily walk with the Lord, but that's where my heart and prayer is that conservatives and Christians, we can hold the line, but where people can still see Jesus in our lives.
Yeah, that's such a great point, and I'll ask you here in just a minute to pray into that because, we can all get caught up in it. I've been at this for a while. Mark became an activist here in North Carolina back in 2004, and one of the challenges with the culture war, which I'm the last of four kids. I have red hair. I've got a bad attitude. It was a perfect fit for me. But getting into the culture war, what I found is it really, in me and a lot of people that I know and I met in the movement, it tends to breed self-righteousness because as I look out at this broken, darkened culture and see this culture's choices, whether it's abortion or whatever else you want to talk about, I can feel pretty good about where I'm at morally relative to the culture. And so you start, it breeds a little self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is addictive. And you start to, and it also, in my case, I think it cut into the sanctification process a little bit because I was grading myself on a curve as opposed to grading myself against the word of God. And then one of the things that got left in the dust of all that, Mark, for me personally, again, and I know a lot of other people involved in the culture war from a Christian perspective where that was a challenge as well, was prayer and evangelism. And I'm like, I'm swinging my broadsword all the time, but like you mentioned, forgot that I had a trowel and I was supposed to be a builder. And ultimately the building was supposed to be the kingdom and the kingdom is made up of people who know Jesus Christ. So that's such a great, powerful reminder. So if you could pray into that and our role as both swordsmen and builders, I think that would be just perfect for today.
I'm happy to do it. Let's pray right now. Father God, we just pause for a moment. Lord, the first thing in my mind, I think of those families, even this funeral that's taking place for these two deputy families in Western North Carolina. Lord, just provide those families peace. May your work and will come out of this where you can be honored. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray specifically today. My specific prayer is for the individuals even listening right now, Lord, starting with me, that we can be warriors for you, yet we can also be multidimensional in the fact that people can see the compassion in our heart, that we are living out the second commandment you gave us is to love our neighbor. Lord, help us to find the balance of doing that, that we can stand and protect our religious liberty. We can be bold witnesses for you, but we can also see the world the way that Jesus does. Lord, give us that fresh heart. Lord, I thank you for people like Steve and others who are willing to get out there, and Lord, and do something amazing with their life. Lord, continue to give us the strength to be able to do so. Lord, I pray right now for those that may be struggling with that balance is that you would reveal the calling in all of our lives. Lord, James 5:17, you've told us basically that prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have, that prayer from a righteous one can avail or change much. Lord, we believe that prayer today. May the Holy Spirit go before us even now. Guide us and strengthen us. We pray for all of this, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Brother Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to call in today. We look forward to having you on again, and may God bless you and use you and all that you're doing. We appreciate you.
The same to you, my friend. God bless. Take care.
Thanks. You too. We'll talk later. That was former Congressman Mark Walker running for the U.S. Senate here in North Carolina. And just a great man of God. And listen, there's good politicians out there. Some good politicians out there. But I am always inclined to get behind men and women of God that are running for office, because besides the flesh and besides experience and beside wisdom that's gained through that experience, I also know I've got the Holy Spirit there. I've got the Holy Spirit trump card, if you will, that's involved in that person's life and their own sanctification and their own development and their own walk, but also in their ability to see the truth, to have discernment, to have biblical, godly, spiritual wisdom. So that gives me a lot more to work with a particular politician than ones that aren't. I'm not saying that a non-believing Christian, a non-believing person who's not a Christian, not a born-again Christian. Okay, when I say Christian, if you haven't been listening to this show for long, I can do air quotes on that all day long, because we still have about 65 to 70% of this nation that will self-identify as Christian. But if you start asking them, you know, and I'm trying to get all of us to do this. If you're just in a conversation with somebody, oh, you go to church, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you mind if I ask you a little bit of a strange question? It might, and I don't mean to put you on the spot or make it awkward or anything. I'm just curious and trying to understand, because most of us say we're Christians. I'm just wondering, why do you consider yourself a Christian? Like, what do you believe that makes you think of yourself as a Christian? And so there can be good people out there that can be effective in office. And I would actually personally, if I have a Christian that's not very wise and not very experienced and not really capable in terms of their actual worldly ability to do a job versus somebody that's a lot of experience and stuff that's not a believer, I'm going to go with the one that can do the job, because I'm not hiring them to be a pastor. But in this case, if I can get both, if I can get experience and wisdom and knowledge and a good witness, public witness, good ability to handle that job, and a believer, okay, that's a no-brainer for me. And so that's kind of how I look at politicians and even people that get on this show. You might have noticed I'm not Sean Hannity. So I rarely have guests on that all we're going to do for an hour is argue with each other, because I don't think it's productive. I think there's enough work to do in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ from a discipleship perspective. And if I'm barking at you, I can guarantee you I've been barking at myself too. And so that's where I feel called to work, is inside the body, on me, on you. And I know that there's people that are marginal Christians, or maybe perhaps not even Christians at all, that listen to Christian radio and maybe hear the podcast or watch the YouTube live or the Facebook live. And we want to be a good witness to them. So I appreciate Mark reminding us, yes, we are warriors for the truth and for the good of the culture, but we're also builders of the kingdom. And the only bricks that build the kingdom are human souls that are saved through Jesus Christ. So let's remember that we actually can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can fight for the truth while loving people and sharing the gospel. We can do both through the power of the Holy Spirit. Such a great reminder. 8 p.m. tonight if you want to watch that, nationaldayofprayer.org. Pastor Chris Connell in here tomorrow, Stu Epperson on Monday, and I'll be back next Wednesday, God willing. I'll talk to you then, and like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.